What is going on, everybody? Welcome to a Suplex City Geeks podcast. I said it all wrong the first time. Jesus.
Why don't we botch it, all right?
Right, already? Yeah. I'm sorry. I'm trying to keep it professional. This is Steve, the professional here.
We got to rename you the amateur.
I might have to, but it's okay. There's minor botches from time to time, so we can do it. If the other professionals can do it, we can do it too. It's only right. And joining me today for the very first episode of the Suplex City Geeks podcast, I got the vintage Bri2J.
That's right. I'm vintage Bri2J. Yeah. I'm not the same guy that you know from the Friday night live stream and the rest of the podcast.
Absolutely. And this is the first episode, and being that it is the first episode, and the fact that this past weekend was an insane wrestling weekend, I figured we just jump right into it. Of course, Brian has a lot of shit to do. He got a lot of kids and a lot of kids. Well, only two.
I have a lot of,
but yeah,
I have two, but they're a lot of work.
Yeah, right? Absolutely.
I ain't you.
Yeah, no, yeah, I do have a. I kind of have like a Randy Orton tribe over here. He has like 18,000 kids. But
they all literally just go with the pose.
Yeah, they all do it. Yeah. but I figured, the main thing that we had was WrestleMania this weekend.
Yeah,
that was the big show of the weekend. But there were also other shows that happened this weekend. Of course, there was AEW Rampage, which I still haven't watched yet. But
yeah, me neither. Me neither.
But there was also Impact Wrestling had the madness of the multiverse of matches, which was the name of their thing. The multiverse of matches, yes.
That's pretty wild. I like that.
Yeah, it was pretty interesting. And then the other big thing that I watched was another pay-per-view. That was Ring of Honor finally coming back after their little hiatus with the Super Card of Honor. And that was actually really, really fun. It was a lot of good shit on there. It was a lot of good matches. One of the biggest things that I can say from this was that being that AEW has pretty much taken over all of Ring of Honor, we had great matches, first off. But the fact that the majority of the titles that came through pretty much changed hands today, on the supercard. First thing that changed hands, the biggest match that they had, the first match that they had that was like something that was of interest to me. It was originally going to be Deonna Purrazzo, who's an Impact, was supposed to be going against Willow Nightingale for the. Women's championship.
Okay.
But of course, you know, they had the Impact had the other pay-per-view going on, so she couldn't make it for this. And being that she is the Impact Women's Champion and the ROH champion, she was like, I'm gonna go to the other one, which is my main thing. That's where I get my bread and butter. This is all the other stuff that she does. Mm-hmm. So she was like, what they did, the interim ROH Women's Championship match, which was with Willow Nightingale, who's fantastic. He's one of my favorite indie wrestlers that's been on ROH for a little bit, but I've seen her show up on like AEW and on Dark Elevation a couple times on Rampage. She's been really good. And she went up against Mercedes Martinez, who was she considers herself the OG badass. Because she's been all over the place. She's been on NXT. She was in WWE. She's been on the Indies for a long time, and she's really fucking good. She wound up winning the interim match. So we're gonna see Mercedes Martinez against Deonna Purrazzo, possibly to see who's actually gonna hold the title. to see if they're going to continue with Deonna Purrazzo as a champ for Ring of Honor and see what's going to happen from there. That would be very interesting. I really want to see what they're going to do with that. Then another match that was really fun. That was probably the match of the night. I was super fucking excited for it because this is something that has been in the waitings for a really long time. We knew that the Briscoes were the the Ring of Honor champs. And we had seen them at the final card that they had back in October. They were facing somebody, and FTR came out and interfered, and kind of they started a feud from there. And for the last few months, they've been going back and forth online, back and forth, talking about, oh, we're the best. So this match was essentially like solidifying who is the best tag team wrestler, who are the best tag team wrestlers in all of wrestling right now. Because FTR, if you guys that don't know, have held titles pretty much everywhere they've gone.
Yeah,
they've had the WWE both SmackDown and Raw tag team champions, as well as AAA. They currently have the AAA titles. They also had Impact titles. They also had AEW titles, and after this match, they now have the ROH title. So they are 6-time tag team champions in pretty much all of the major promotions. It's fucking great. Really a solid match. So like, if you guys ever get a chance to actually watch some really good tag team wrestling, give this match a shot, because it is definitely worth it. These guys really put their all in, and they busted their ass, and it was so fucking good. It was the greatest match of the night. And that was followed by what were you gonna say? You want to say that?
No.
Okay. That was followed by Minoru Suzuki, who we've seen in AEW. We've also seen him tons in Japan, and he made his way over here. He's been going back and forth between AEW and Impact and all the other places. And he went up against Rhett Titus, who was the World Television Title champion, the TV champ. Mm-hmm. And he beat him for the championship too. Minoru Suzuki is one of those badass fucking dudes. He comes in, he knocks you the fuck out, and he does everything. He's what you would expect from like a strong style Japanese wrestler.
Okay.
He's really good, really badass. He actually had a tag team with Lance Archer that's in AEW right now. Fantastic tag team. They feed off of each other so well. And I love watching them together, and I like the fact that Minoru Suzuki is now the ROH champ, TV champ. So I really want to see what's going to happen now, especially since he's not from here. And he's going to be, I guess, he's going to be holding it for a while, because it's going to be fun. It's going to be fun to see what they're going to do with him. Another match that was pretty damn awesome was Josh Woods, who we've seen on AEW Dark. I had never really watched him before on ROH, because I've been on and off with ROH. And he was the pure champion, the pure ROH champion. And he went up against Wheeler Yuta, who I have been a complete fan of his since I saw him show up on AEW. He's had some fantastic matches there. And he recently had a match with Bryan Danielson. Another fantastic match. And this match was really damn good. And of course, like I said, a lot of these titles changed hands, and this one was another one. And it was great. It was a great fucking match. Wheeler Yuta is awesome, and Woods is another. He's a great dude too. Like he knows what he's doing in the ring, and it was really fun. It was a really fun match. I like seeing what they're gonna do with him, especially since Wheeler Yuta is technically like a newer wrestler in AEW. So I'm excited to see what they're going to do with it. And then the final match on Ring of Honor Super Card was for the undisputed ROH World Championship. This was between Jonathan Gresham and Bandido. Both of them, since ROH went on hiatus, have been going back and forth all over the place, defending the ROH title. And then now, they were pretty much like, okay, we need to figure out exactly who is going to be the actual champion. And this was a great fucking match, too. Like I said, all the matches on this pay-per-view were fucking amazing. And I am a huge fan of Jonathan Gresham. He's really damn good. And to see him actually come through and actually bring out the win, he kept, and now he is the undisputed ROH championship, the ROH champion. And he's really damn good. So I definitely suggest watching this pay-per-view. And then after the match, one thing that I didn't mention earlier was that Jay Lethal was in here, and he went up against Lee Moriarty. It was a bit of an undercard, but it was a good undercard in that Jay Lethal started to have a heel turn. We've seen Jay Lethal everywhere. He's one of the longest running ROH champions. He's had it for over 700 days. He held it for 500 days, lost, and then won it for another 200 some odd days. So he held it for a long time. He came out to the ring and he actually started to fight with Gresham after winning. And after that, you know, one of Lethal's friends came out. He was like, oh, you can use Tommy. You know, this isn't the way you got to do it or whatever. And he choked him out because it was, you know, he was like, fuck you guys, I'm going to do whatever. And then we get Samoa Joe comes out. And Samoa Joe comes out because he was also a ROH champion, also from the, you know, WWE, and he was on Impact, and he's been all over the place too. But he solidified the fact that, yo, I'm going to be here, and I'm going to be in AEW as well. He's going to be everywhere. So very exciting. I like where this is going. I want to see more ROH. Yes, please. So yeah, if you guys ever get a chance, check out ROH Supercard. It's you can find it on pay-per-view, or you can go to Fight TV. Well, we got a link for it down in the description. You can check out Fight TV. You can find it there. It's fucking dope. Go give it a shot, or you could, you know, stream it in other places too. But you find it there. So that's enough about me jibber jabbering about the ROH. Now it's time for the main event.
Wow.
Yeah.
Way to sound professional, Steve.
All right. Yeah. I try. So we had two nights of WWE action. Overall, what do you think? What did you think of the two nights, Brian?
Over the two nights, I want to give it a grade B.
Yeah, I agree. I would definitely give it a B.
Not a B plus, just a straight up B.
Yeah.
Definitely better than I've seen in the last couple of two night events.
Absolutely.
But there were moments on each night in which I'm like,
Yeah.
And
they were ups and downs for both.
Yeah.
Wins and losses. A lot more losses than wins, unfortunately. So for me, at least, for me at least, I'm not gonna speak for you, but as for me, like there were a lot of losses in the thing for me. So the first match on night one was something that I wasn't expecting. Of course, you know, I'm not a big WWE guy. I'm going to say it, and you'll see it in the title card of the episode. You see that, you know, we're wearing AEW stuff. A bit of an AEW stand, yes, but you know, I enjoy the wrestlings because that's why we're doing this show, because we enjoy the wrestlings regardless. The first match was the Usos against Shinsuke Nakamura and Rick Boogs for
as my wife likes to call the Usos, like the drink, because they're always drunk and they're getting DUIs.
Yeah, yeah, so, they got a DUI, baby.
So credit my wife for that one, and that's it fair. Sticks.
That's fair. Yeah, it tracked completely. And that they were going for the SmackDown Championship titles or whatever. This was an okay match. It wasn't a bad match. But
I unfortunately missed that match because my kids were they went down relatively easy. They went down after that match, which is good, right. But I didn't get to see the match.
That's fair. That's fair. So they came out. Rick Boogs was playing the guitar. He was playing their entrance music. That was pretty fun. That was cool. I was like, okay, I don't mind the little guitar work there. Granted, you could tell that it was, you know, it wasn't him playing the guitar the entire time. Mm-hmm. But that's neither here nor there. It was still a fun match. One of the spots that kind of like I was kind of sad was because like I was rooting for them. I was like, oh, he's going to win. They're going to win. Mm-hmm. And Rick Boog winds up picking up one of the Usos. He's holding him on his shoulders. And then the other one jumps on top of him. And then his knee gives out.
Yeah.
And that was a wrap for him for the rest of the match. And then Nakamura wound up getting pinned and they lost.
And then,
but yeah,
we found out that it's a torn quad.
Yes, it's according a torn quad that requires surgery, and that's like a good few months out.
Yeah, like I mean, unless you're Triple H in like the early 2000s, that's at least a year.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
See you in 2024 or 2023.
Yeah, it sucks, dude. It sucks bad. But yeah, that was a fun match. Regardless, it was a fun match. Unfortunately, they had a shitty ending. But shit happens, and when you're going into this type of sport, you gotta expect the unexpected. Do you really expect to get a torn quad? No.
No.
Do you ever want a torn quad? No.
Do you ever want two of them at the same time?
No.
Like Vince McMahon?
Yeah.
Do we ever want them where you just come back from injury mm-hmm. and you tear it right away?
Yeah. No, you don't want it. No, not at all. No bueno.
No bueno.
No bueno at all.
No. So before we get into the next match, we want to talk a no bueno. So as we know, in the summer or fall of last year, Elias gave away his persona and there were the vignettes. So Elias returned tonight, or should I say Ezekiel? He cut his hair. It's about just under ear length. And the beard is gone. He looks ripped as fuck.
Mm-hmm.
But he is now Ezekiel. And it's just...
And we're talking about now... We were talking about today, which is Monday tonight, that we're recording.
Yeah, so on Raw. So tonight, while we're recording this show, Monday Night Raw is a thing. Mm-hmm. And Ezekiel returns. I mean... It's expected. It's always they're gonna have people show up the night after WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so as of this Monday night, while Raw is on and we're recording, Elias is now Ezekiel minus the beard.
Okay.
And
the guitar.
No guitar, exactly, because he burned it. And it's just no, 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 no. I sent you it on Instagram, Steve. It looks, okay. He looks ripped,
right?
Right. He's in great shape. Not gonna, you know,
not gonna discount the fact, right? Yeah.
But it's just all the no, and we'll discuss that more on next week's episode.
Okay.
But back to WrestleMania. The next match after after the Usos, after the DUIs versus Quad
Terror, we should just call them DUI babies.
Was McIntyre versus Happy Corbin.
Yeah. I'm not a fan of the Happy Corbin. I'm not a fan of the Happy Corbin gimmick.
Me neither. It's
like, I understand it. I get it. I get why he did it that way. Like, oh yeah, my wife F me. I'm gonna go do whatever. And he winds up going to fucking to Vegas and winning a shit ton of money. Just fair. Okay, fine. Uh-huh. He gets all happy and shit. I don't understand Matt Cat Moth or whatever the fuck his name is. I don't get it. I don't understand. But whatever. That's neither here nor there. As far as the match was a decent match. It wasn't a bad match. No. Night one had the most decent matches.
I mean, in all fairness, like, while that match was going on, I was washing dishes because I just didn't care.
Nice, yeah. That's fair.
Yeah.
No, but it wasn't bad. It wasn't bad. And I'm glad that Drew McIntyre actually got to win this match.
Yeah.
It was good.
And
especially since he lost last year.
Yes.
At WrestleMania to Bobby Lashley.
Yeah. Yeah. And of course, you know, nothing like using a real sword on or a fake sword on real ropes.
Yeah. Yeah. Was it a fake sword though, or was it a real sword?
It could have been a real sword.
Yeah, it could have been. Because they cut through like two ropes.
Which, I mean, I like how quickly they were able to
put the shit back together. Ropes. Right, yeah.
They didn't just grab the ropes.
Yeah, yeah.
They didn't just grab the pieces and duct tape them together. They straight up give you new ropes.
Yeah, they did. They did. And that's professionalism right there, dude.
You know, and it's not like it's you know, WWE style tables where like it's, you know, it looks complete until like you turn to the you know, like magician's style.
Yeah.
It was a full rope that they literally fucking had cut into pieces.
Yeah, because those are also the ropes that you saw them bumping off of the entire time.
Exactly.
So it definitely was a real sword.
Honestly, I give that match 3 stars.
Okay. Yeah, I give it about a 3.5 or so. It wasn't bad. It was good.
It had entertaining moments.
Absolutely.
And I mean, not to take away from Corbin himself with the stupid fucking gimmick that he has, he's good and it just sucks that he's stuck with bad creative again.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, he's a good worker. He knows how to put on a match, which I enjoy. Yeah,
he's highly entertaining, and his mic skills have gotten better.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely, and it shows. It shows very much.
It shows. As for his dad jokes with Madcap in that commercial, I'm like, I made better ones.
Dude, that one joke was bad. When Madcap was like, "Yo, like, Drew McIntyre? What do the sword and Drew McIntyre's mom have in common?"
I don't remember that one. I kind
of
like
put it. That he lost both of them. Yeah, dude. That's what I'm saying, dude. It's fucked up. It's a fucked up joke.
Cue up the Jeopardy losing sound.
Yeah. No bueno. No bueno.
No bueno on that.
But the match overall was a pretty good match.
Yeah.
Yeah. The next match was actually the one that I wasn't looking forward to the most.
But I actually really enjoyed it.
It was probably one of my favorite matches of the night.
Yeah.
And that is The Miz and Logan Paul versus The Mysterios.
Yeah. Father and son. That is a beautiful thing that Dom gets to wrestle with his dad.
Absolutely.
And Ray is like 50 something.
Yeah.
I mean, Dom is only like 20, 21.
Mm-hmm.
What I really enjoyed was their costumes, right? So they came out wearing, Rey Mysterio came out, first off, them getting, them both hopping off the lift from the floor.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that was really cool. Mm-hmm. And of course, Mysterio's music still hits and the crowd goes nuts.
Of course.
And I gotta say, I've been hit or miss with Rey Mysterio. Like, they've either, like, I really like him, or I'm really like, okay, can we just get on with his, like, this push that he's doing, you know?
Yeah.
But what I highly enjoyed was the costumes, because Rey Mysterio, not being born in America, was wearing an outfit inspired by his hometown in Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
But Dom, being born here, was wearing an American copy of his dad's outfit, but with the stars and stripes. So the fact that it was like Mexico and America, you know, it just, I don't know. It just had a really cool vibe about it. I thought it was just wonderful in the costume design, and just ended up really being a really highly entertaining match.
It really was.
And as great as the Mysterios were, Logan Paul surprised the hell out of me.
Yeah, yeah. Another great celebrity meeting.
Yeah.
Another great celebrity match. You don't expect him to be good.
Was he as great as Bad Bunny? No. But no. He was decent. Like, he put on the match.
Yeah, and he was in there for a good chunk of it.
He held his own, and I was really impressed. Mm-hmm. So shout out to Logan Paul for that.
Done. Like I've said before, like, I'm not a fan of his. Mm-hmm. I can give a fuck less about him or his boxing or his YouTube channel or whatever the fuck it is.
Yeah, or his brother.
Like, or his boxing brother too. Like, yeah, fuck him too. But he did put on a hell of a match. And I was like, okay. I got some respect for him for that.
Yeah.
It was good. And of course, The Miz. The Miz is actually a really good wrestler.
He really is.
I may not like his gimmick. I don't like he has good mic skills, but I just don't like his mic skills.
No.
Not a fan. But he's also won a lot of times. He's what? The two-time Grand Slam champion?
Something like that, yeah.
So he's won all championships twice.
Yeah. He's a phenomenal star for that company.
Right.
It's just, they try to force him down your throat, and you're like, whoa, chill.
Yeah, yeah.
Let me like him if I like him, you know?
Yeah.
And you want to like him, but then it's just, yeah, you just got the whole...
Yeah. You wanna root for somebody that really wanted to do this. Mm-hmm. But then you're like, do I really want to, though? Because he's one of those people that's like, yo, like, I always wanted to be a wrestler. I'm going to be on this reality show, but I still want to be a wrestler at the same time.
Right. Pretty much.
Kind of like what, well, from what it looks like, that's what the same thing that the Logan Paul was, too. Like, he did a lot of shit, you know, back in the day or whatever, when he was younger.
Yeah.
At least from the vignettes showed us, that's what they did. It was a really good match. And then the funny shit is, like, of course, you know, Logan Paul actually came in for the, went for the pin, got the pin. Mm-hmm. And then right after, The Miz turned on him.
Yeah.
And this was great, because it goes to show him, like, yeah, you can be tagged with the person, but fuck you, because you didn't give me the light. Like, that was his ego coming into play, like, yo, I wanted to come in for the pin. I'm the actual wrestler, not you.
Exactly.
So there could be more from this story. So
there could be. Like, I don't think the feud between them is done.
Right. Or actually just beginning.
Or just beginning, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's gonna be fun. It's gonna be interesting to see what's gonna happen.
Mm-hmm.
What else? What was the next match?
The next match was personally my favorite match of the night, and that was Becky Lynch versus Bianca Belair.
Yep, that was a good match too. That was a really good match.
So, like, first off, I gotta say, what the hell was up with that outfit that Bianca, I'm sorry, that that Becky Lynch was wearing.
she was trying to be fucking Ziggy Stardust, dude.
But she came out looking like something out of like sort of like rejection off of fucking Blade Runner.
Yeah. She looked exactly like fucking Lady Gaga, dude.
It was just like, come on, what the hell mm-hmm. are you wearing? And like my wife was like, her haircut is just terrible.
Yep. Well, that's partly because Bianca Belair cut her hair in like on I think it was on SmackDown or Raw this week.
Yeah. But like that match had two megastars doing mm-hmm. their like really giving it their all, and like I highly enjoyed that match. I was sort of like edge of my seat excitement for that match.
Mm-hmm. It was really good.
It was they like. The counters,
the near falls were
the
great.
Near falls.
Mm-hmm.
Everything about that was just really, really good. And for me, that was a 5-star match.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, it was. That was really, really good. That was probably the best. Like I said, that was probably one of the best matches of the night.
And
also the fact that like I saw earlier on Twitter or whatever, Bianca Belair really got her eye knocked. her shit was swollen.
She got a legit black eye from that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But that was a great, that was a good match. That was and I'm kind of glad that we don't get to see Becky hold that title again for a while.
Yeah, but you know what?
It kind of stale for me.
Yeah, but you know what? It's like I'm glad they had her drop the title and. And honestly, like getting to see Bianca Belair once again have a WrestleMania moment.
Mm-hmm.
Because the girl can work.
Yeah, she absolutely can.
And she's incredibly acrobatic. I mean, like, how I lost count of how many like flips she did.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I tried that, I'd break my neck.
And she didn't really use her hair like she usually does.
No,
I think she only used it like a couple times.
Yeah, but like. She basically just wrestled.
Mm-hmm.
She showed her in-ring skill and why she's there, and seriously, highly impressed with how amazing that match was.
Mm-hmm.
And like, even though Becky Lynch lost, like, it was great to see her like actually once again headline Mania.
Yeah,
because I mean, there's a reason why she's one of the top people in that company in the women's division. You know. So, yeah, solid match. I give that a 5-star.
Yeah, I agree. I give that a 5-star too. Like, it was a really, really good match. We also need to figure out what's the rating system, because we started with A's and B's, and now we're on stars. Where are we going? What are we doing?
next up would be potatoes, pickles. I don't know.
Okay.
Blood droplet. I don't know. Hey, this is the first episode, all right?
We're figuring it out as we go.
We're trying to make this not the Inner City Geeks podcast.
Yeah, that's completely fair. That's completely fair.
Although I might just stay vintage Bri2J for the remainder of every episode we do.
That's perfectly fine.
Hey, I'm old, okay?
Hey, dude, it's perfectly fine, dude. We are old in our own little way. Then the next match, the match that I really, really enjoyed too, was Seth freaking Rollins.
Yeah.
And his mystery opponent.
Which I got really tired of them saying Seth freaking Rollins. I'm like, oh, let me count how many times they fucking say freaking.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yes. Seth.
But that's his gimmick. That's his gimmick. Yeah,
I know.
I hate it. But it's cool.
So as we know, Seth frickin' Rollins, he got gypped out of WrestleMania because mm-hmm. he fought AJ Styles and Edge interrupted because mm-hmm. Edge wanted AJ as planned. And mm-hmm. Rollins is like, I'm Seth Rollins. I'm Seth frickin' Rollins, blah, blah, mm-hmm. blah. And then he thought he was getting fired in the office. And then you turn out he's there. And then it's like, okay, who's his mystery opponent? And for weeks leading up to it, Well, like, is it Cody Rhodes? Is it Shane McMahon?
Mm-hmm.
And I thought they were going to just screw us and give us Shane McMahon.
Yeah, that's exactly what I thought, too.
I was like, okay. And the lights went black. And I'm like, yep, it's Shane McMahon.
Yeah. Here comes the money. Nope.
Right. Nope. All of a sudden, you see the logo on screen, and you hear the theme song, and it's the American Nightmare, Cody Rhodes.
Yep.
And I like that he is especially his character that we known and grew to love from AEW. Granted, yes, he's been in New Japan. He's been ROH. But for those of you that are strictly...
strictly WWE, yeah.
WWE, but like, you know of him from AEW. It's like, oh, so yes, the fact that he had his, he had his theme song, his Homelander outfit, and like everything was just perfect. And but you could actually see the real genuine emotion coming out of this man when he's like, oh, holy shit, I'm at WrestleMania.
Yep. He finally had his WrestleMania moment.
He finally had his WrestleMania moment because. Yeah. I mean, the last time he was at WrestleMania was 7 years ago. He was Stardust. Which is a gimmick he fucking hated, but he did it anyway because he was a company man. And there was a lot of ring rust, considering he...
It's been 2 months. It's been 2 months of him not being in ring.
Yeah. But for 2 months to not have, you know, for 2 months not wrestling to have ring rust like that was interesting. But also you got to look at it like, I thought again that the ring was a little bit bigger than AEW, but then, it could also have been like the fucking bright lights and pyrotechnics.
Yeah. The bright lights kill me every single time I watch a fucking match.
Yeah. Cause like where you look at any other company, the posts are just straight up posts
with
turnbuckles.
Yeah.
In WWE, they went that route of fucking
LED, they have lights. LED screens on the Dreams. Fucking post. Yeah.
And that could blind anybody. And so, yes.
Especially with the bright ass color that they have.
So I think between the coloring, the bright lights, and the crowd, he was just. And or also being WrestleMania, throw that in there. He was shook, and it kind of distracted him from doing his job. But he pulled it off, and Cody got the victory. And I'm excited. I mean, first off, I knew they weren't going to screw him on the first night, especially at WrestleMania.
Yeah. Especially since he is essentially a de facto from their competition, even though they say they're not competition. He was their de facto. Exactly. You also got to remember that all the other reason why he was so happy was because the last real thing that he was at, there were only 15,000 people there.
Yeah.
To come to this WrestleMania moment, they had over 70,000 people at the arena.
Right.
You get so much more energy. You get so much more feel. And it kind of gives you more of, I'm not going to say, you know, incentive, but it kind of gives you a little bit more of a pop, so you get to feel a little bit more. And I get it. I would have probably been the same way. I wouldn't get it like a little bitch, but yeah.
But I gotta say, all in all, solid match. And it's
absolutely.
And like, it's not like these guys haven't worked together before, but time has changed. You know, and I was thoroughly impressed by this match. I can't wait to see what they do with Cody. Hoping that they don't just go, oh, Cody Rhodes is back, and then he's swept under the carpet, never to be seen again.
Yep.
Because it's been done way too many times where somebody comes out, and then it's like, oh, yeah, we like you for the week. And then it's like, oh, yeah, let me just take the shovel and bury you.
Yeah. But from what the dirt sheets say, he's getting a decent amount of money for a multi-year deal, and they're going to give him a huge push from what they say. from what the dirt sheets say. So
I know one of the stipulations was that he gets to be the executive producer on the American Dream documentary, which is only fair considering that was his dad. I mean, I'd want to. If they made a doc on mine, I'd want to be
involved. Absolutely, especially since they keep using his name in everything.
Oh yeah. But also aside from them keep using the name, think about the amount of involvement that man had long after he was like in ring retired.
Yep.
Or even just the years after he died. Like, there's So the fact that he gets to be the executive producer to the documentary on the American Dream.
Mm-hmm.
I'm excited.
It's going to be cool. Wait to see,
I can't wait to see what they do with him before they bury him.
Yeah. hopefully they don't bury him.
Hopefully they don't, because I want to see him actually succeed in this company.
Absolutely. I want to see him actually have the title.
He's done too much for them.
Not just for them. He's done a lot for just wrestling in general. No.
I'm not counting his post WWE career. But think about the amount of stuff. He was a yes man from the beginning, and always the breakout. He was the breakout of Legacy. Right, that was the tag team with DiBiase Jr. He was the breakout of Legacy. He had Mike's skill then. And he just proved himself day in and day out. And then just the fact that it's like, oh, I'm going to just be stuck as Stardust in the end. It's just not cool. And I get that's why he jumped ship and did his own thing, just to grow as a person and a professional and everything else. So, like, I really hope that all his hard work actually gets to pay off in this company for the first time ever.
Hopefully he actually does something that his dad didn't do and actually win the championship.
I would love to see Cody as a world champion.
Yeah. He held a title over there in AEW, but he was also like, I don't want to be the main title holder over here. I don't want the big title. I want the TV title or something like that. And he got it.
Yeah. So, I'd say that was a 4 out of 5 star match.
Yeah. I'm going to say like 4.5. I'm going to give it a 4.5.
Okay.
I enjoyed it a lot.
And the next match of the night was the SmackDown Women's Championship. Charlotte Flair versus Ronda Rousey.
Ronda Rousey, yeah.
It's because the match was boring as fuck. Rumors saying that, very strong rumors saying that Ronda stormed out of meetings because she learned that she was not going to close out WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm.
Boo-hoo. Fuck you, bitch. Nobody wanted you to come back in the first place.
Yeah. Well, you'd be surprised. There are fans of Rowdy Ronda Rousey.
Wow. A whopping handful of fans. Yay. Fuck that.
She is I'll say this. She is a very good fighter. She knows the basics and she can work. But not against a person like Charlotte Flair.
Yeah, but even that match was... So Charlotte Flair is good at what she does, but like the match itself was so fucking predictable. I knew Rousey was not going to... I'm sorry. I knew Drowsy was not going to win because never do they change two champions on one night, whether it be men or female.
That's a WWE thing, though. Yeah,
it is a WWE.
But you're right. Yeah.
In that the company's history, they never ever fucking do anything where it's like that. Like the match was boring as it was predictable. I tried to stare at the screen and get into it, but I was like, no, I'm just gonna do nothing, and it's more fun. I'd rather I'd rather have stared at the fucking ceiling and counted the little tiny rivets from like the you know, the paint droplets and shit.
Nice. Then it'll stucco on the ceiling.
Yeah, exactly. Count how many fucking little droplets of stucco.
That's fair. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That was it was a bit of a I'm gonna say I'm gonna agree with you. It was a bit of a snore of a match.
Like, could we go lower than zero stars? Could we go like in the negatives?
Negatives.
Yeah, because that gets like the amount of negatives, as many negatives as you could fucking think
okay.
of.
See, yeah, see, I can say okay. How about we just don't go less than one? Because you can't have a zero star match. We give it just one, just for the pure entertainment of it. The fact that they actually went in and actually put in their work, they put in work. They actually, you know, tried their best.
But
that's like giving them their honorary trophy. Like here's an honorary trophy. You lost, but here.
You got. So basically, you're giving them a participation trophy.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. They were there. They participated.
If that gets any amount of stars higher than one, it's thank you for giving me a really good 10-minute nap.
Yeah, yeah. the 10-minute match winner.
To quote how they used to fucking act in WWE ways back when Austin started this. Boring.
Yeah. That's fair. That's completely fair. I'm not against it. Yeah, but that was that match. And then after that, we got the KO show featuring Stone Cold Steve Austin, which I was expecting nothing. I was expecting him to just come out and just talk, which would have kind of sucked if it did.
Yeah.
But it turned out to be a match.
It turned out to be a no-holds-barred match.
Yes.
It was a triple threat match, the third opponent being Beer.
Yeah. Yeah.
I enjoyed that. I thought the KO segment was good in the beginning.
Yeah.
But I actually really enjoyed the wrestling itself. Austin, for being 57
and having 19 years of not being in the ring, did his thing.
Yeah.
Did his thing for sure. Like, it was very, very, very fucking fun. I love it. Especially since it was a no-holds-barred match, so you could go anywhere and do pretty much anything.
But like the fact that KO, who is a name in his own right, just basically let Austin kick his ass.
Yeah.
You know, to give him his
and
his
sold it. He sold the fuck he out of it, too.
Yes. Oh, 100%. Like, Owens was great.
Yeah.
And Austin just, you know, stopping the match to go, like, get beer thrown toward him.
Yeah. Yeah. I love it. Classic
I really
Austin, dude. Classic Austin.
I really want to try the Broken Skull beer.
Yeah, me too.
Like, it's. I mean, it's sold everywhere. There's places by me, like distributors that have it.
Okay, I gotta find it. I'm pretty sure it's sold over here too. I just gotta find it.
Yeah, it's. Yeah. I definitely want to like check it out and see. You know, what kind of like Budweiser carbon copy it is.
If not better.
I'm sorry, Steve Weiser's.
Yeah.
To throw that,
but isn't it like an IPA though? Isn't it like an IPA or is it just regular beer?
It's an IPA.
Okay, so it should be a little bit better than a Budweiser.
Yeah.
Yeah. At least we can hope so.
Yeah.
How many stars do you give this one? Oh, I'm sorry. What do you say?
I don't want to give it anything perfect, so I'm going to just give it a 4.5.
Okay. Okay. I agree.
But like, I enjoyed him getting to celebrate his victory over Owens with his brother.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
who I thought he was just going to stun just for the hell of it.
That would have been fucked up, but it would have been good. It would have been awesome.
It would have been Austin. It would have been like, oh, yeah, I'm celebrating with you. Stunner.
Yeah. Yeah, but it was good. It was a good match. It was a good match. And it was a good way to end night one.
Yeah.
It solidified night one to be the better night of the two nights.
Yeah.
Yeah, so... Overall, what do you say about night one?
Night one? Like I said, night one, I'm going to give it a B.
Okay. Solid.
Before we get into night two, mm-hmm. Did you watch any of the Hall of Fame?
Just the vignettes that they had on the show.
Okay. I fast-forwarded through the majority of it. I only watched two speeches, and that was the Warrior Award given to... Chad Gaspard's family.
Okay. Yeah.
Which, I mean, everybody knows by now, Chad Gaspard of Crime Time mm-hmm. died a hero. He and his son were in High Tide in Venice Beach, and they got swept away, and they were able to save, at first, they were able to save Chad, and he's like, no, the hell with me, find my son.
Yeah.
And then after like countless, searching, they found him. But by the time they got to Chad, his body had sunken in the water. He had drowned. And it's sad because he was super young, but mm-hmm. he was a loving man. And the speech, what I thought was great was that his widow was like, in 2016, Chad stopped an armed robbery at a gas station. And I remember reading about this, like mm-hmm. he body slammed a guy. And held him in place until the cops got there.
That's pretty dope. That's pretty badass.
But the one I didn't know was that he rescued their dog from like armed fucking assailants after a couple of months of the dog being missing. There was like a high speed chase involved. Like this mm-hmm. dude was a fucking superhero,
right?
You know, and the coolest moment was the low key handshake. With JTG and the kid through the mm-hmm. Crime Time shake.
Yeah, that was really cool.
And then the only other thing I watched from the Hall of Fame was The Undertaker getting inducted.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, love him or hate him, whatever you think of him, like politically or whatever, it's not about that. Think about the countless work that Mark mm-hmm. Calloway had put into that company.
Absolutely.
The many iterations of The Undertaker over 30 fucking years.
The Dead Man, the Phenom, the American Badass.
Badass, yeah. Like, there's so many different versions of that character. Mm-hmm. And it's just like... Him being a Hall of Fame inductee,
mm-hmm.
They literally yelled out, "You deserve it," because he did.
Yeah. Over 30 years in the WWE.
Yeah.
So yeah, he did his thing. He's done countless matches.
Countless matches.
Countless crazy matches too. Not just regular. Oh yeah, that's a regular match. No, fucking Hell in a Cell matches, coffin matches, a lot of shit that it was like,
buried alive.
Why is he doing matches. This? Yeah, why is he doing this?
And like one of the greatest moments is when he walked up those stairs when Vince had inducted him. Mm-hmm. If anybody was gonna induct Undertaker into the Hall of Fame, it was gonna be Vince.
Oh yeah, for sure. It was only right.
But when he hugged Vince and said "I love you," I was like, all right, that's because he mentions how like he Vince started out as his boss and became like a father figure and a best friend,
Because
mm-hmm. they have a 30-plus-year friendship.
Yeah.
And it's just amazing to see, like, everything like that. But now, it's like, he was the locker room leader, so I wonder who's going to be the new locker room leader.
Right.
you know. But no, it was a beautifully done speech, his like lessons. And what I thought was cool is that he put on his coat and his hat and he's like, never say never.
Yeah.
You know, because obviously he's never going to wrestle again.
Yeah.
But like, it'd be nice that like next year, WrestleMania, he just like all of a sudden you hear the thunder and the gong and the lightning comes down.
And the stupid AR.
Yeah. Oh, that's
the augmented reality bullshit. I fucking hate it.
It's so horrible.
It's overdone. Like, why do you have to do that for every single fucking wrestler?
Whatever. Fucking the Mummy 2 with the Scorpion King had better CG than that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, and that's like one of the worst fucking CG moments.
Yeah. Big time. Yeah.
All right. So that was the Hall of Fame. Check it out on Peacock. It was actually it's good. At least just watch those speeches. You know, because it was the Steiners getting inducted. Apparently, all Scott did was talk about cows. I read a tweet saying Scott Steiner about cows is like is the equivalent to Mr. T about his mom.
Oh wow! Yep, I got it. Yep.
Yeah, Queen Charmel was another one, and then Vader. But like, okay. Yeah, it was a small Hall of Fame. I mean, up until like. The last couple of weeks, you and I both thought it was just going to be.
I would have been cool with it. I would not have been against it.
No, I mean, it also allowed him to have an hour long inducting speech.
Yeah. So. that would have been kind of like, okay, yeah, shut the fuck up. We get it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or they could have just done a whole hour vignette of him just fucking slamming bitches and shit.
Oh yeah, just classic matches.
And I would have been okay with that too.
Oh yeah, me too.
Yeah. but that was good.
It was good. On to night number two.
Yes, now night number two.
So for night number two, Triple H kicked off the show, making his appearance, saying, this is WrestleMania, but before he left his boots in the ring. As the sign that he's officially retired from in-ring competition. Something that he's mentioned in the past, even recently on Stephen A. Smith's show, because Triple H had a cardiac event last year that could have killed him. It was viral pneumonia. And you should definitely check out the full speech. The full interview, I mean, with Stephen A. Smith, where he talks about how the blood ejectors from his heart went from like how they should be to something's not right to you're one pinfall away from not where you want to be. And, you know, like he retired because, you know, he's a dad too. And like, pivotal moments in his daughter's lives would be the outcome of why he's not wrestling, because he didn't want to be a Randy the Ram and, you know, potentially die in ring.
I don't think anybody ever wants that.
Yeah, I mean, his kids range from 11 to 15. It's one every 2 years or 1.5 years or whatever. 11, 13, or 15. And it's just like, okay, they need dad.
Yeah.
You know, and
you really do.
And he mentions how, like, they went from, you know, they see him as, like, the strong person to being sick and unable to really do anything. And it's like, okay.
Yeah. From a guy that's on the road pretty much every week.
Yeah.
Doing everything every single week to not being able to do any of it.
Anything. So, like, getting to see him retire was a bit sad because you also. Just the night before, saw The Undertaker put on his coat and hat and say never say never. Or that weekend, rather. Not the night before, but like, you know what I mean? It's like...
Yeah, we'll get you.
So that's... And these guys who are close friends, the BSK, and like, knowing that they're both retired now, it's just like, fuck. You know, this is like... Two major individuals from our childhood that are just not going to wrestle anymore ever.
Yeah, it's sad.
You know, it is.
Yeah,
it's sort of like when HBK retired.
Yeah,
you know,
it's exactly the same. Yeah,
it's like, oh man, they're not a thing anymore.
Hmm. Yeah. Sad shit.
Yeah. So our first match of night number two was RK-Bro versus Street Profits versus the Alpha Academy.
Yeah.
That was a fun match.
It was. It was. The funny thing is, like, every time I see the Street Profits now, like, all I can think about is they're, like, a watered-down version of Private Party over in AEW.
I was thinking that, too.
Yeah. Especially they come out. They came out with solo cups being dropped on the stage.
Yeah.
Why?
Like, yeah. And like Montez Ford, like, do you think he and his wife have like a trampoline in their backyard? Because they're
probably
because like all they do is bounce.
Yeah. They probably do. Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised. Yeah, but it was a decent match. It was a decent match.
It was a decent match.
Yeah. Especially that Alpha Academy. We forgot to mention Alpha Academy. They're not bad either.
They're not bad.
Chad Gable's pretty good. Otis, like, I don't think I've ever really watched Otis wrestle. And he's pretty damn good. For a big dude, he's a pretty good, he's a solid big dude. Like, I like the way he wrestles. Mm-hmm. It was a fun match. And then what was it? RKO wound up winning the match, which was good.
Yeah, they ended up retaining their title because they both did an arc. They both did the signature Randy Orton DDT from the road.
Yeah, yeah. The RKO out of nowhere. Yeah.
And like, it was great seeing Riddle just come out of nowhere with an RKO of his own.
Yeah, yeah.
And then
I like Riddle. Riddle's actually really good.
He's grown on. He's definitely grown on me.
Like the first time I saw him was actually on the QT Marshall documentary that's on Amazon. Okay. He was trained by QT Marshall.
Gotcha.
Yeah, that was really good. It was like, oh, okay, because you see him. Well, of course not with the Riddle personality he has now.
Right.
Like, he had the name, but he didn't have, like, you know...
The bro.
The stoner, yeah. But you see kind of like, oh, you see his style. You see how it grows from then. And it's pretty good. It was good.
What I thought was cool, though, was that when Montez Ford and Chad Gable, like, they... not Chad Gable. They ended up, like... Give him like the cups, like cheers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They're like, no. Like, we're not trying to do anything. We're just literally want to just cheers to WrestleMania.
Yeah.
To
that gentleman. Yep.
And they cheered to Chad Gable.
Mm-hmm.
Because Chad Gable had just won his second NCAA wrestling trophy.
Yeah. No, it was Gable Stevenson's. They were choosing to Gable Stevenson, who is actually, you know, the next wrestler is going to be coming soon to the WWE.
Right. And then like, yeah, so like basically they cheered to him, and that was dope. That he like kicked fucking what's his name's ass?
he kicked Chad Gable's ass out. Yeah. He basically like kicked him out of the ring and shit. It was really good. It was fun.
He was trying to get there. He like interrupted the shush
mm-hmm.
with a brutal suplex.
Yeah, I don't understand why they do the whole shush thing. Like,
yeah,
they did it in AEW. The Rights of Ascension did it for a while. Like, why are you shushing everybody? I don't get it. Yeah, but whatever. It was a decent match. I'm giving this match like a 3 out of 5. It was pretty good.
Yeah, I'll give it the same.
Yeah. The next match was something, a match that I wasn't expecting. Bobby Lashley versus Omos, or Omos, however they call it, however they say it. And this was actually pretty fun. I wasn't a fan of Lashley for a while.
Yeah, like, heel Lashley was kind of, like, annoying.
Yeah, very.
But face Lashley is good. It was pretty entertaining, you know? Yeah. Trying to see, like, as strong as Lashley is, trying to pick up somebody who's, like, three times his size.
The dude is like 400 pounds.
Yeah. And like, it was just a fun match.
It was good. It was good.
And it was just long enough.
Yeah, exactly. It wasn't like it's gonna just be a squash match, which I was hoping that it wasn't gonna be a squash match.
Yeah.
It was they had pretty good back and forth, and it lasted like almost a good 10 minutes, which it was pretty good.
So for that, I'd give it like a 3.
Yeah. Yeah. Like it was fun seeing Bobby at Lashley trying to put in the Hurt Locker on him.
Yeah.
Dude is like, he towers over him and he's trying to put a Hurt Locker on him, which is his move. It's like fucking putting somebody in a full Nelson. You can't really put a person in a full Nelson that's like, literally almost twice your size, twice your height.
Right.
But this match was, I'm going to give it a solid 3. I enjoyed it. Which is followed by my favorite match of the night.
Oh, yeah. The best match of the night was Sami Zayn versus Johnny Knoxville.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
in an anything goes match.
Yes. And I am usually not, right, I'm usually not a fan of these, like, celebrity guest matches at all.
Yeah, yeah. The funny thing is we had two celebrity matches in one WrestleMania.
Exactly.
And they were both really entertaining.
Surprisingly.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, you had Johnny Knoxville of Jackass fame come mm-hmm. out. And do pretty solid for a non-wrestler. But, I mean, before Jackass, he was a Hollywood stuntman, so you kind of mm-hmm. understand. He's going to know how to take bumps.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, he's literally gotten, like, attacked by a bull. So, like, Sami Zayn is nothing.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, like, one of my... The match was super entertaining, a lot of fun, things I didn't mm-hmm. expect.
I was not expecting expecting the entire Jackass crew.
No, like when Chris Party Boy Pontius came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
And started doing his Party Boy dance and then stripped and just started doing his little Party Boy dance in his Speedo. I'm like, okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. this went from one thing to another real quick.
The fucking Wee Man coming out from the
and slamming Sami Zayn,
mm-hmm.
It's fucking fantastic. It was kind of I saw it on Twitter earlier. Somebody put the Hogan Andre the Giant slam there. The commentary for that over this one, fucking fantastic. Hysterical. Fucking fantastic.
But for that to be as entertaining as it was, I was shocked.
Yeah.
Like, really?
Because you don't expect that. You don't expect it from a celebrity match.
No. The table with mousetraps on it and then the gigantic mm-hmm. mousetrap.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Really funny.
Yeah, and not just that, but the hand... Sami Zayn. I expecting about that.
I did not see that coming at all. Like, that was a full surprise.
Yeah, I was not expecting that at all, and it was great.
I'm gonna say 5 stars for this one.
I'm gonna give it a 4.5. Okay. It was really entertaining. Especially since, like, it wasn't really a match.
Right. It was the next episode of Jackass.
Yeah. Yeah. It was. It really was. But I enjoyed it. It was fun. And then the next match after this one was the women's tag team champion match. It was a 4-way women's tag team champion match. And that was between Carmella and Selena versus Sasha Banks and Naomi. Live for Brutality. That was their tag name. Live and Rhea Ripley. Stupid name. Live for Brutality. Stupid. I don't like it. But whatever. Bad creative. versus Nyla and Shayna Baszler. It was a fun match. It was decent. It was a little bit shorter than I expected for having 4 women's tag team matches in it.
I honestly was bored.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not gonna lie. I watched this. I fell asleep the first time that I watched it, and I fell asleep from this until the Pat McAfee match. But being that for the show, I sat through and watched it again.
Yeah,
and it was okay. It wasn't bad. This was again. It's sad. What's fucked up is that what we're kind of saying is that the women's matches have pretty much been the low points of both nights. Mm-hmm. Well, not the Bianca Belair match. That was a good one. But the Charlotte was not a good one. And this one was... Yeah. Yeah, but they had some decent spots in it. I would have preferred that Rhea Ripley and Liv won, but Sasha Banks and Naomi did. It wasn't bad. Not like I said, not who I preferred. But Sasha Banks kind of needed another WrestleMania moment because she got her ass beat last year. She came through and she actually did her thing. And Naomi, I've never really watched Naomi wrestle before. And
me neither.
She was okay. But it was a fun match. I give this one 3. Not my favorite of the match, but not the worst. It wasn't the 1-star. So I'm actually gonna give this one a 2 because it was better than the other one from the night before.
Yeah, I guess I'll go with a 2.
Yeah. There was a little more action that kind of had you like, oh, yeah, let's see where this is going. The next match. What was the next match?
The next match was Edge versus AJ Styles.
Yeah. It was your boy Edge.
Versus AJ, who had that mysterious cut on his face on his way down.
Yeah, what the fuck was that?
Yeah, like he was just, he came out and like his right cheek was bleeding for whatever reason.
Mm-hmm. Like was he like, I don't know what he was doing. He was trying to shave or something, but he did a really bad job with it.
Yeah, like it was a pretty deep gash on his
cheek. It was really bad.
And no explanation to why.
Yeah. And even the commentators were like, what the fuck was that on his face? Mm-hmm. But they were like, yeah, nobody knows. AJ Styles he's a really good wrestler. Like, I've seen a lot of his matches before this. And Edge, of course, we know Edge. He's been around forever. They put together a really good match. They really enjoyed it. I was hoping for a little bit more from AJ Styles. And I was hoping that he wouldn't get distracted like he did.
Yeah.
But I get it. It's building more story.
Building more story. And especially because now with that stable that was mm-hmm. rumored for a while. So basically, Damian Priest shows up and distracts AJ enough for Edge to get the victory.
Mm-hmm.
So yep. I'm interested to see where this goes.
Yeah, especially since, like, you know, I could have seen Edge, AJ Styles actually come through with a win. I kind of saw it, especially after he did the superplex off the on the ring apron. That was really good. But of course that didn't work. That didn't help.
Nope.
But especially now that, you know, we kind of saw Priest going heel for a little bit.
Yeah.
And now you pretty much know he's pretty much going full heel, especially now joining the whole stable or whatever with Edge. It's kind of cool. It's kind of cool. I want to see what they're gonna do with it. What do I give this match? I give this probably like about a 3.5.
Yeah, I'll get like 3.
Yeah, yeah. It was entertaining. And it was fun. That was fun. Now for the next match, which was something that was pretty much postponed from the night before, because they went over on time for night one, and they rescheduled it. And from what I hear, is actually this was one of those flex matches, which was one of those matches that they could have done on either one on either night, and they were like, "Fuck it, we're just gonna do it this night." They were like, because they went too long on the other one, we'll fit this in anywhere. And they threw it in there. And that's the New Day versus Sheamus and Ridge Holland. Ridge Holland, of course, is the dude that slammed Big E on his head.
Mm-hmm.
Even though they say it wasn't done purposely. But, it, of course, you know, it was a painful fucking move.
Yeah.
And it sucked. Which this essentially, this was supposed to be a triple threat, like a 3-on-3, like a three-way tag, between the New Day and them and Butch, stupid name Butch, but yeah, it was supposed to be all three of them, but a 6-man tag, that's what I was gonna say. This match was okay, but what sucked about it was so fucking short.
It was like, yeah, it was extremely short. And honestly, it was like the saddest match of the night.
Yes.
It's like, you're giving these guys, first with the tweets from Kofi and Sheamus,
mm-hmm.
Kofi had put out like, well, that's just business. And then, Sheamus said just a scissor emoji. And it's like, all right, like, cool, they got to be postponed, but to just give them that 5-minute long match, it was like you blink and it was done.
Yep. Yeah, it was kind of sad. It was like, like especially coming from the King of the Ring that won it last year, uh-huh. and the former champion.
Yeah. It was just bullshit.
And also, like, all of them have been former champions. Even fucking Sheamus was a former champion.
Yeah.
To basically been thrown into, like, what would have essentially been a dark match. Because that's what I could have kind of saw this at. This could have been on a pre-show.
It really could have just been a pre-show match.
But yeah, I give this match a 1 for night 2. This was my number 1.
Yeah, I'd go with that too.
Yeah. Nah, it was okay. Not expecting. I was expecting more and was given dog shit. But like I said, nothing against the workers, cuz they're good performers. Like, I like what they do in the ring, but as far as the match itself,
yeah. Yeah.
Not good. But something that was actually really good.
Surprisingly.
Pat McAfee, dude. Versus Austin Theory. Yes.
McAfee really surprised me with his athleticism. Like, I mean, yeah, they show the vignettes of him training for this his whole life, yada, yada, yada. But the fact that he literally tried to do a swanton bomb. Well, he did it, but he missed it because he, like, took too long. And then, like, doing some flips. He got the superplex in. Like, really, really good. But then, so he gets the victory on theory. So McMahon is on, McMahon is at ringside. Sitting with the commentators. And Theory loses. And he's with Vince. And they're going to the back. And then Vince decides to be, the once again, the genetic jackhammer. And genetic wrestles McAfee and gets the victory. But,
lame.
Very lame. But what I did not expect was the return of Stone Cold for night number two. Stone Cold comes out night number two and just it, I felt like a kid again. He literally just was that back and forth moment with Vince that we haven't really seen in a while, in a couple of generations at this point. And like, stuns Vince and probably one of the worst stunners I've seen. But that's also because Vince is old and he probably would have killed him. But then does some cheers with McAfee with the beer. And McAfee was like, holy shit, I'm having...
I'm having a beer with Stone Cold,
I'm having a beer with, like, my idol. You know?
And then Stone Cold is like, no, fuck you. I'm going to do what you what I do with everybody else.
Stunned him anyway.
Yep. Love it.
Welcome to the club. It.
Yeah. Welcome to the got stunned by Stone Cold stuff.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Honestly, that was better than I expected, and I'm gonna give it a 3.5
Yeah, I'm gonna give it a 4 because I enjoyed it a lot more than expected. I would have given it a 5 if it was pretty much like no Vince to come and actually do something.
Yeah.
That kind of like. But the match between McAfee and Mid Sammy was actually pretty good.
And that leads us into the conclusion match of night number two, being the unification title match between Brock Lesnar and, as my friend John calls him, and I'm going to keep this name, Row Mid Reigns.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because he's fucking mid. And it, the match, everybody's like, oh, Lesnar's finally going to, you know, well, Reigns is finally going to lose his title. And it's like, no. Let's just keep this fucking guy champion for another 500 days.
Yeah. Nah. It was a decent match.
It was, but why keep the fucking title on this guy?
Yeah.
Let other people have a title shot.
Yeah, he's held it. I get it. You're trying to build the legacy or whatever. He's had it for over 500 days. It seems like 500 years.
It seems like that. You know?
Which is, it's been over 2 years with him with the actual belt. With no losses, no submissions, no anything.
Nothing.
But what this could be, what something that I've been trying to use, this could be leading up to actually Cody coming in and taking it from him.
That would be nice. I would be happy to see that.
Yeah, I'd be happy with it too. But I would also be happy if anybody else fucking takes it from him too.
I don't care.
I'm very tired of hearing him continuously say, "Acknowledge me." Why?
Yeah, like to quote Jericho from back in the day. Like, I don't care if it's fucking Stu the cameraman.
Yeah.
You know, like, somebody needs to fucking get this guy not champion.
Yeah. Yeah, for real. What kind of, like, really, really made me feel like, what the fuck is going on? Was when Paul Heyman was, like, screaming at him. He's like, oh, come on, my tribal king. I'm like, what the fuck, dude? Really? Oh, yeah. My tribal king, please, please win, my tribal king. Dude, seriously? Like, you're praising this dude like that? It's not that serious.
No.
Not that serious at all. Granted, he hit, like, fucking 4 Superman punches. But, like, the FI was a little bit harder than that.
You know? So, what the actual fuck?
Yeah, what the actual fuck? Overall, I give this match a 3. I give it a 3 because like I was expecting, yeah. Like I really, really, really wanted Brock to win.
I think everybody wanted Brock to win.
Yeah, I'm completely tired of seeing Reigns with the ring with the title, and now that there's a unified title, we're gonna see him everywhere now. He's been doing it as is now, but even more so.
More of Roman. Yay.
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 We're not sounding sarcastic at all.
No, we aren't. No. We are we're super happy.
Extremely.
We're super excited to see more of Roman Reigns. Well, we might not get to see more of Roman Reigns because he got hurt during the match. Yeah. Not that I'm praising him getting hurt, but I wouldn't mind getting a few weeks without him on the TV.
I mean, if an injury is the reason, if an injury is the new champion,
I'll take it.
Right?
Yeah. 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 Overall, what do you give night number 2?
I'll give it a B.
Okay, yeah, I give it a B also.
Because honestly, the savior of that night was the Jackass match.
Yeah, between Jackass and the McAfee match were the two saviors of the match.
Yeah, the leave it to the non wrestler matches to be the ones that actually are why they're giving this a higher grade.
Yeah, that's. Is it sad that it's that way?
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. But overall, it was decent. It was decent. It wasn't a bad paper. It wasn't a bad WrestleMania. It was actually better than last year's WrestleMania, which I was actually at.
Right.
I actually enjoyed it. Yeah, I worked it last year and I was at the stadium, but not like if I was invested in who's going to win what last year or like I am and was this year. But this was more entertaining than it was last year. Granted, yes, there were way more people there. But you felt a lot more energy in this one than it was last year. People were still scared to actually, you know, cheer and shit. So it was good. It was fun. So,
I was gonna say I just don't understand this 2-night shit again, and it got confirmed to be 2 nights again next year.
Yeah, April 1st and 2nd next year. Yay!
April 1st, is it gonna be a good pay per view? Oh, April Fools!
Haha, jokes on you, motherfuckers! Haha. Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah.
Is there anything else you would like to add to our wrestling weekend?
No, I got nothing.
Okay. So overall, it was a decent weekend for wrestling. Had a lot of shit. Of course, like I said, we had the ROH. So go check out the ROH stuff. Check on in the links in the description. You'll see, you'll find the link to Fight TV, where you get to be able to watch ROH and a lot of other wrestlings outside of the WWE stuff. So you can do all of that over there. But like always, make sure you guys check on Initiative Sunday. We got a whole bunch of shit sometimes because we got this show now. We got this show because we got the regular Inner City Geeks podcast. We also got Bryce J Presents. So much other shit over there. Go check all that stuff out. They got links to some cool places. Of course, Amazon.com where you get some shit for free. Well, not for free, but you get Prime for free when you pay for it, of course. But you get your first month for free. Because there's a lot of shit up there. There's a lot of shit you can watch. You get a lot of stuff shipped to you the next day. Because you don't want to sit around waiting for packages for months. So don't go shopping on Wish and waiting for a month and a half until you get shit that doesn't fit you anymore. Go do that. Check out Amazon.com. There's a link in there. Get your first month free. And then you can watch The Boys and all the other shit that's over there on Prime. Then Soulsay Clothing. Got some cool shirts, hats, cool shit. Soulsay Clothing, S-O-E-S-I-C, clothing.co. Type in Inner City Geeks for 15% off. And then there's Beard Octane for your beardly goodness. Type in ICD-10 for 10% off. And then everywhere, CBDMD. That's pretty much it. A bunch of places. Then you can find the show on SoundCloud, Stitcher Radio, Google Podcasts, and on motherfucking Spotify. Find us on all those places. You might be able to find more places. We'll see very soon. And then you can find the show at Suplex City Geeks on the Instagram and the Twitters. Yes, we will be having that very soon. Maybe on Facebook, maybe on the Facey Space, but you'll find us on the Instagrams for and the Facey Space for the Initiative Geeks. You can do all that shit over there too. And where can you find you, Brian?
You can find me trying to find more wrestling news for next week.
That's fair. That's fair. I got it.
You can, of course, find me on all the social medias as well. Bry2J Presents on Twitter and Instagram. You can check out Bry2J Presents on YouTube. Check out Bry2JPresents.com. And where can we find you?
You guys can find me on the Instagram and the Twitters at Mr. Jackal. MisterJackal. And this concludes the fucking show. Thank you guys for listening. We appreciate all you guys, especially on the first episode. Let us know what you think about us. Yes, let us know what you think about us on this pilot episode. Whether you liked it, you hated it, if you enjoyed it, if you were just like, yeah, I have nothing else to fucking listen to, let us know what you think. Like I said, we appreciate you guys. And, I forgot the words.
You've just been future endeavored.
Yeah. You've been future endeavored. Later.